Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and I am here again with Dr. Vanderpool to continue our Living Missionally series. This is episode 9. I highly recommend you go back and listen to episodes 1 through 8 because, Dr. V, you hit some really amazing things. So before we get started, I do just want to let everybody know that Dr. V, you have a book and it's called Live Beyond, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve. Would you mind telling us just a little bit about it?
I sure will. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. You know, we got a lot of questions after we moved to Haiti from people who said, why in the world did you leave a successful medical practice and move to Haiti? And you know what? That's a really good question. So we wrote a book about it. And so there's basically a process that we went through over, you know, some 20 years, actually, to get ourselves prepared to live in a place without electricity, without running water, and minister to the people. And so this book just details just the trajectory that we took, the path that we took to go from successful surgeon in the United States to living in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So get out there, get on Amazon and buy the book and let us know what you think about it.
Absolutely. So you can buy it at our website, livebeyond.org. on Amazon, and please feel free to leave a review for us so that other people can know what you thought about the book as well. Again, it is called Live Beyond, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve by Dr. David Vanderpool. So this week, again, this is episode 9 of our Living Missional series, and I know that this is a topic that is really, really personal to you, and we're going to be talking about suffering persecution today. So can you tell us just a little bit about why you decided to do this topic and how it is personal to you and kind of what are some of the things that we can expect for today?
Well, you know, we've been talking about how to live missionally. Those are the topics that we've explored in the previous 8 podcasts have been really referring to how we can go about our daily life and live missionally. This one's a little bit of a departure from that theme, in that it is looking at something that's going to happen to us if we live missionally. And so this suffering, this persecution that we're talking about is the kind of thing that we can completely anticipate happening and we really need to be prepared for if we're going to live missionally.
So what does it mean to be persecuted?
You know, that's a great question. You know, a lot of people in the church today believe that we don't need to suffer persecution. We don't need to suffer in any way, that our lives are just absolutely wonderful. And if we aren't just living in this perfect little la-la land, then something's wrong. But you know, that's not what the Bible says. And it's just amazing the departure from this. And a lot of people are really surprised when suffering or persecution comes along, thinking that, we're not supposed to have to experience this. But we wanted to look at a bunch of scriptures today that say otherwise. One of the ways to define suffering and persecution is to look at what it's not. And one of the things it isn't is suffering that is common to mankind. And what I mean by that is you get cancer and you suffer because you have cancer. That's not what we're talking about. Not belittling that at all. Having cancer is terrible. It's a lot of suffering. It's just not what the persecution and suffering that we're talking about in the Bible is talking about. The suffering and persecution we're talking about in the Bible occurs because we're spreading the gospel. So it is a response to our spreading the gospel, and the enemies of the gospel come against us and cause us to suffer. So it's not something like losing your parents to death. You know, that happens. your grandparents died. That's not what we're talking about. Getting sick. That's not what we're talking about. Not doing well in school. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is suffering that is produced because we are spreading the gospel.
You know, I think that's such a wonderful point, because oftentimes, you know, we can think that persecution looks like someone disagreeing with us, or just any time that we're in any sort of like emotional or physical pain. And you bring up such a wonderful point that, you know, it's not always that, but it, you know, it really does have something to do of the crux of it is that we are sharing the gospel and we are experiencing retaliation because of that. So my next question for you is, who gets persecuted?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And this is one of the things that I think is a little startling to people. You know, we look at a passage in John 15:20, and Jesus says, "Remember the word I spoke to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So here is a scripture that is said by the Lord Jesus, and he is guaranteeing that if they persecute him, they're going to persecute us. We are not greater than him. We don't get out of the suffering that he experienced. We actually participated in it. And Paul talks about this a little bit later in 2 Timothy 3:10. And he says, he's talking about the persecutions that he has suffered. And then he says, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, I don't know how that could be said more clearly to get the point across that if we are living a godly life in Christ Jesus, we will be persecuted. He says all, doesn't say some, doesn't say just the superheroes. He says all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. One of the things that I love in Revelation is John, writing the book of Revelation, says, he opens in the first chapter in the verse 9, he says, he's introducing himself. He says, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation." And so here he is saying that, you know, he is our partner in the sufferings and the tribulation, the persecutions that you know, that we will have because we want to live a godly life. You know, and I think this is extremely important for us to understand. You know, 1 Peter is a great book on suffering. It just talks a lot about suffering. And so if you look at 1 Peter, especially in the 4th chapter, it talks about that we share Jesus' suffering. Now, we all know the suffering that Jesus went through. He went through horrible torture. He had the crown of thorns placed on his head, and where it cut his scalp. He was whipped with a terrible whip, probably 39 times. And so his back was laid open. We all know that he was spat upon, and he was mocked. And then he was placed on the cross, and nails were driven through his wrists and his feet, and he died on the cross from the pain and the agony. That's the physical suffering that he talks about. Now, there is spiritual suffering as well, and Jesus, I think, really experienced this. You know, he took all of the sins of the world on his own body. And so there was some period of time that all of the sins, past, present, and future, came upon Jesus. Now, Jesus was obviously sinless. He had never experienced sin. In all of his life, he had lived perfectly. And at one point, during that terrible day that he was sacrificed, all of the sin of the world came upon Jesus. You know, it says that the Father turned his face away from Jesus. And I really believe the reason he did is that he couldn't stand to see the world's sin on the person of his own son. And that caused incredible pain. So you can, we just have a hard time even being able to fathom the kind of spiritual sacrifice that Jesus made, not only coming to this world and leaving his perfect kingdom in heaven, but coming to this world and experiencing the deprivation of the world and experiencing hunger and thirst and heat and cold and those kinds of things. And then the physical suffering that he underwent. But the spiritual suffering is just indescribable for someone who is sinless, like Jesus. For us, it's not as big of a deal because we all sin, and a lot of people get sort of comfortable with their sin. But as Christians, I think there's an element of suffering that occurs because we start to realize, like Jesus, that the sin of the world is terrible and it causes suffering in us. And, you know, I think in some way, there is a way that we share the sin of the world, taking the sin of the world on us, like Jesus did. Not that we were the sacrifice, not that we were God, not that we're perfect, nothing like that. But that we, as Jesus did, we participate, you know, in that terrible suffering. And I think that is something that is a difficult thing to even talk about. It's a hard thing to even fathom that we can share in that. But there, I think there is a way that we do that. You know, we talked about the passage in 2 Timothy 3:10. All those who want to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. And, you know, there's an element to this. It's all those who want to live a godly life. So those who aren't interested in living a godly life aren't going to be subject to the persecution and the suffering that Jesus had. So, you know, that's something that we need to sort of think about. It's those who really want to follow the life that Jesus put out there. There's another passage in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, that says, "For you were called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps." Now, Jesus left us a lot of examples, but one of those was for suffering. And that's sort of an amazing thought, that the suffering that he had, that he underwent, was an example for us, and we're called to that suffering. And so those of us who want to live as Jesus lived will suffer this persecution and this suffering. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. You sort of have, also, I have to ask myself, if I'm not being persecuted, if I'm not suffering for Jesus, am I really living in a way that is modeling the way Jesus lived and the way that he asked us to live? I think that question is central to what we're talking about.
That's such an interesting point, especially with what you said about that those who want to live a godly life. So kind of digging a little bit more into that, does that mean that there will be those of us who are Christians who aren't getting persecuted? What kind of does that mean?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a hard question. You know, it really is. And I think that John talks a little bit about this in Revelation 3. Verse 15, and he's talking to the churches that existed there in modern day Turkey, and one of those churches was at a town called Laodicea. And what he says in chapter 3, verse 15, is, "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I'm rich, I have become wealthy, and I need nothing,' and you don't know that you are actually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You know, I think that's the group that is going to not suffer the persecution because they're really not doing anything. You know, there's nothing going on. They're not hot for the kingdom. They're not cold. They're not working against it. They're not really working for it, but they're not doing anything. And so they just think they're wealthy. They think everything is great. Even the scripture says, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I don't need anything. Those people are the ones that I think will not undergo persecution and suffering. But whether they're Christians or not is a really good question, because, you know, Jesus sets the bar pretty high for us in what we actually do with our faith. And the works that we actually do because of our faith. And so those folks, I think, are the ones that probably will not suffer the persecution and not join in that that suffering like Jesus did.
So what does persecution look like?
Well, that's a great question. And I sort of would like to differentiate a little bit between persecution and suffering. I think that there is sort of a little bit of a difference there. The suffering, I think, is a more general term. And so that suffering can be due to any number of things. I think persecution is specifically had by people who are spreading the gospel and are being punished for spreading the gospel, that there's opposition to spreading the gospel, and so they are doing so, and the people are punishing them because of their faith. And so they're actually different Greek words, and I think that that there is a difference. But to look at what it means, it's brutal. You know, it's totally brutal. When you look at Hebrews 11:35, the persecution that the writer of Hebrews was talking about says, he said in verse 35, women receive their dead, meaning their spouses, their family members were killed, and the women went to collect them, and they were raised to life again. It says some men were tortured, not accepting release, meaning they didn't denounce the gospel. They kept preaching the gospel, even though they were tortured, so that they may gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings or whippings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. So they were put in prison because they were spreading the gospel. They were whipped. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. And it says the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. So the persecution that the writer of Hebrews was talking about is pretty awful. It is the type of persecution that causes intense pain, where people are whipped, you know, they're killed, and they live in a very impoverished state, just wandering in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves. And so we're talking about a pretty awful situation. But, you know, Paul even talked about it in 2 Corinthians 11. He has sort of a famous sentence that he puts out it's just, you can almost hear him talking, you know, almost stumbling over himself saying all of this. He was talking about his you know, the suffering and the persecution that he sustained, and he's sort of talking about this as if they were they were his medals of valor. You know, they were they were the kind of thing that he earned, that this is the mark, that persecution is sort of the mark of a true Christian. And so what he says is that as a servant of Christ, he has had many imprisonments and far worse beatings than anyone else. Near death many times. 5 times he was whipped with 39 lashes, which sometimes just one time with the lash, 39 lashes, was fatal. It says 3 times he was beaten with rods by the Romans. Once he was stoned by his enemies. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the open sea, just treading water. He faced dangers from rivers, from robbers, from his own people, and from the Gentiles, and dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, and dangers from false brothers. So people who called themselves Christians, he was in danger from these people who called themselves Christians, but they were false. Many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food. He was cold and he lacked clothing. And so the persecution that both the writer of Hebrews and then Paul writes about are tough. They're very, very tough. It's not just that somebody insults you for being a Christian. It is far beyond that, where your life is in danger and that you actually bleed because people are against you, all from spreading the gospel and not relenting, not turning back, the writer of Hebrews says, not accepting release, that all they needed to do was denounce the gospel and they would stop the persecution, but they refused to do that. And so we're talking about really, really hard things, the kind of things that most Americans are not used to at all. However, a lot of Christians outside of the United States are pretty familiar with this. And in fact, this is one of the times, the time periods that is that Christians are seeing the most persecution against them. Now, not in the United States, but outside the United States, it's brutal.
Those are hard things to read, and kind of know that that's just kind of the expectation that we have. So what can our response be to persecution?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And it's not exactly what you think. It's not, certainly not what, you know, my flesh would do. But in several places, it's talked about what our response is supposed to be to persecution. And Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So our response is blessing. So these are people who are tearing the flesh off your back with a whip. These are people who are trying to kill you. These are people who are deceiving you, in the early days, feeding you to lions, beating you with rods, those kinds of things. And we are called to bless these people. Now, isn't that an amazing thought that's the response? But you think about the pattern that Jesus gave to us, the model that he gave to us, that's exactly what he did. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so he blessed the people, did not condemn them, did not curse against them, but he blessed them. Even in James, James 5:13, James says, James, probably the brother of Jesus, so, you know, somebody who knows Jesus very well, he says, is any among you suffering? He should pray. You know, so one of the responses that I think we have is that we bless the people and then we pray. And Jesus, while he was on the cross, prayed to his Father. And so that is the example that we get. Lastly, one of the things, it sort of goes with the first one, is in 1 Peter 2:23. And it's talking about Jesus. It says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he was suffering, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, who is his Father. And so here it is again, that we don't speak against people who are causing us to be mistreated. If we are patterning our life after Jesus, this is extremely difficult. I know from our standpoint, I failed this test a bunch of times. And so this is not something that I'm saying is a piece of cake. It's not. It's hard. Mm-hmm. But that is the way that we're taught to respond.
And that certainly does go against kind of every natural reaction we have. But what are some things that we can expect from persecution?
Well, you know, it's tough. You know, the first thing that we can expect is that we lose all of our material things. And I know that sounds really harsh to the American ears that are listening to this, but here's Philippians 3:8 and following. Think about these words that Paul is speaking here. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, look what he gets. This is what he's saying. I want to suffer the loss of everything so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is what you get. You have the loss of every material thing, but then you know him and the power of his resurrection, and you share in his sufferings, you become like him in his death. Now, he died on a cross, so we're becoming like him because we die in service to the King. We are spreading the gospel, and we are killed for it, that by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is an amazing thing. I mean, all of us would love to say, I know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. We would love to have that. The following things are a little bit tougher when you say, oh, and I want to share in his sufferings. Well, that's a big deal. If you want to share in his sufferings, that's when you become like him in his death, because he was tortured to death, and that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. So what can we expect from persecution? We can expect the loss of all of our material things, but we gain the knowledge of him. We know him, and we become like him, and we attain the resurrection from the dead. You know, the second thing is talked about in Romans 8:17, and it is that we become heirs of God. And you have to think about this. The commitment to be a Christian is more than just filling out a card at church or saying the believer's prayer. There's a lot more to it than that. And I think a lot of us are missing that. In Romans 8:17, he says, if we are children, then we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And here's sort of the but. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. that's sort of the fine print that a lot of folks don't get when they fill out the card and say the believer's prayer, isn't it? I mean, that's a tough deal. We are heirs if we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. There's a lot more to the Christian walk than just going to church and being a nice boy and girl. We have to suffer so that we can be glorified. And that's an amazing thought, that to become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, we have to suffer. So those are a couple of things that that we get, you know, from persecution and suffering. You know, we also get encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 3:7 says, "Therefore, brothers, in all of our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you through your faith." So we can anticipate that those who are like-minded will encourage us and God will encourage us. We've talked about the blessings, you know, in Matthew 5, 10, everybody knows, you know, the Beatitudes. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if we want to be blessed, we have to be persecuted. Persecuted for righteousness, not persecuted for something that we did wrong, but for something that we did right. In 1 Peter 3, he even says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed." And 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, you know, we're not crushed, despairing, or abandoned. We're not destroyed. We're built up by the persecution that we suffer. And none of this separates us from the love of Christ. You know, the famous verse in Romans 8:35, that affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or danger, none of that can separate us from the love of Christ. In fact, that we are knitted together with him even tighter because of that. And Paul says that we have joy, that the gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Spirit with much assurance. You know what kind of men we were among you for your benefit, and you became imitators of us and the Lord, when in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me the things that we are able to get through persecution. You know, in Colossians 1, he talks about he rejoices in his sufferings. And he is completing in the flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body. That is the church. And this is a hard scripture to understand. It seems like the sufferings and persecutions were started with Jesus, and that there is suffering that has to continue within the church, that has to be completed. And that's an interesting thought, that we are participating, we're partnering with Jesus to participate in these sufferings and the persecutions. The final one is the endurance that we get. Romans 5:3 is a well-known passage, and it says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Isn't it interesting that suffering starts that whole process? This is sort of a domino effect. You know, you suffer and you have endurance, and you have endurance and that produces character, and you have character and that produces hope, and hope is the love of God that lives within us. But the first step in that string is the suffering, which produces endurance. So these are the kinds of things that we can anticipate receiving if we are persecuted. The blessings that we get, the encouragement that we get, the fact that we are heirs of the kingdom, the fact that we'll be glorified with Jesus, that we have joy, that we're comforted, and that we have endurance through these sufferings. These are all the things that we can anticipate after the sufferings.
I think it just speaks volumes of the kindness of the Lord, that though we can focus on the things that can happen to us physically while we're here on earth, that He gives in such abundance on top of it, that He gives us endurance and comfort and joy, that we know that we can't be separated from Him and His love, that we will not be crushed or despairing or abandoned or destroyed, but that we're blessed and encouraged and we get to be an heir with Jesus. And just what kindness of the Lord to do that for us, that that He doesn't have to do that, but that He does it anyway. So my next question for you is a little bit more on the personal scale. I know that you have suffered, that you and Mom have suffered persecution, and I just want to know, have you personally seen that all of these blessings and come from that experience that you've had? That, you know, can you say with your own testimony that yes, that we have been comforted and experienced joy, and even at the hands of suffering, that we can, that the Lord has just given to us abundantly?
Absolutely. I can absolutely attest to that, that through the sufferings and the persecution that we've experienced, we feel closer to God than ever. We feel very encouraged, very blessed. We have suffered the loss of all of our possessions. You know, that's sort of part of it. And it's so interesting to me that even in the face of that, we experience more peace, more joy than we ever have before in our entire life. When we were practicing surgery as a successful surgeon in the United States, and we had everything we ever needed. So it's so interesting that we learn to depend on God through our sufferings. And He gives us everything we need. And the joy and the peace that comes from that, and the comfort, is just phenomenal. Now, I have to say that I have not achieved thinking joyful thoughts about future suffering. So I have to say that I'm still working on that piece.
That's a you problem.
I'll get back to you when I get that one figured out. But I am not there. You know, what Paul says is just great. I'm thinking, okay, well, good for you, Paul. that is not my expression. But you know, one thing that I think is so important, and this has been something that we've experienced, and I always read this scripture before we, you know, had been, you know, through this, and not really understood what it meant. But it's one of the kindest scriptures in, I think, all of the Bible. It's 1 Peter 5:10. And he says, "And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the power forever and ever." Think about that. After we've suffered a little while, the God of all grace will Himself restore you. I mean, it's phenomenal that God Himself, he doesn't subcontract this thing. He's not sending an angel down to take care of this. He Himself comes. He restores, supports, strengthens, and establishes us. And we have experienced that in so many ways. It's just amazing. We feel God's presence. even though it can be, you know, a very difficult situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that and for sharing your wisdom with us and your own personal experiences. And, you know, we'll be praying for you that you can have joy for your future sufferings. So, you know, if you're willing, would you be okay with maybe sharing a little bit about what your experiences and your persecution has been?
Well, yes. And it, you know, they are very personal. And so it is a little difficult, you know, to put these out there, you know, for folks. But, you know, just from a 25,000 foot view, perhaps, you know, Laurie, my wife, was kidnapped and pistol whipped and cut with a knife and beaten with a large rod, back in 2017. And that was a very difficult thing. The Lord was very kind that he allowed me to sort of enter that altercation and caused all of her attackers to run. It was a difficult time. I mean, she sustained significant injury, you know, to her face, requiring many stitches, you know, there was concern for even more damage. You know, so that was a very, very difficult time frame. I have to say that my response to that was not godly. My response was not letting the Lord take vengeance. And so I had a lot more to learn after that particular time. And but you know, it's interesting that there's a passage we didn't talk about, but that Laurie talks about a lot, is that the passage says, once you have suffered, you then have given up all of your fleshly life. And she says she really understands that, you know, she was held at gunpoint and pistol whipped and beaten, you know, blood all over her. And, you know, she just, since that time, she has had a peace that is absolutely phenomenal. Really no worldly desires, you know, that she has become just really tangibly more of a spiritual being than I've ever seen. And I know that probably sounds strange to people, but it's really an amazing truth. And it just shows, you know, the power of that for scripture, that particular scripture. You know, we've been attacked by voodoo priests who have cursed us, who've threatened us, you know, with knives and guns. You know, we've been shot at, we've been robbed. I couldn't even tell you how many times, dozens of times, robbed, you know, carjacking. So, you know, we've experienced other kidnappings among our staff, where they were held and for ransom and were tortured for 4 days. We've had a staff member murdered in just basically in front of our gate. And these people were tortured because of the gospel. These were people who were actively spreading the gospel, actively doing good in the region, and were punished, you know, by evil people because of that. And so it's a tough thing, but it is the kind of thing that happens when you're putting yourself out in areas that need Jesus. The enemy will definitely attack you, will definitely push back, and your flesh will suffer. And that's a given. It's very biblical. We see examples of it in the Bible, but we also see examples of it in the present tense as well.
Thank you so much for being willing to share some of your experiences with us, and just for being so open and honest about all of that and how you were feeling, because, you know, that is certainly something that we are not able to imagine. And so I really appreciate you being willing to share your story like that.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. I just want to encourage everyone, though, to really think about this and really think about how much they want to buy into Christianity and how much they want to live a godly life. Because the outcome of a godly life, living a godly life, includes persecution. And it's a hard thing. The benefits that come from it are unspeakable. And they're not gotten any other way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are so grateful. Again, this is episode 9 of our Living Missionally series. I highly, highly, highly recommend going and listening to episodes 1-8. They are amazing. Dr. V, you crush it every time. So we are so grateful. Again, don't forget to go check out Dr. V's book, Live Beyond, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve. You can find that at our website, livebeyond.org, as well as Amazon. And while you're at it, definitely go check out our website. You can learn a little bit more about what we're doing in Haiti. We have an amazing maternal health program, a child nutrition program, school feedings, and all sorts of things. So feel free to check that out. And if it's been placed on your heart, please feel free to donate. We would love to partner with you in the work that is being done in Haiti. So please check that out. But we hope you have a fantastic day, and don't forget to go out and live beyond.